A very good morning to all of you, on site as well as those online. I want to thank BTS for the kind invitation to share with you a short message. And I really pray that the Lord will speak, will minister to you. And it's really considered a joy just to be among all of you, serving the Lord full time. Okay, so today I have for you, taken from Matthew 14. 22-23, and I entitled it When Jesus Rocked the Boat. Before we do that, can we go to the Lord in prayer? Father God, we are thankful that we are here this morning, not by anything, but by your divine appointment. Thank you for calling us. Thank you, Father, for preparing us in this setup like this. Father, indeed, we consider this as a privilege called by you. And Father, we want to hear you speaking into our hearts. And we ask the Lord that the Holy Spirit will take the words of yours and minister to each one of us according to our needs, our station in life. And so we commit this time to you. We ask the Lord you speak. And may we, your servants, listen and obey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's been read to you, so I will not read again, but just highlight on some of the main points. 24 tells us that the boat was already at a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the wave because the wind was against it. So apparently, the situation is that they have this time where the 5,000 was fed, and after a long day, they were all very tired. And so Jesus asked the disciples to go on the boat. I think the intention is that they were just near the beach area and wait for him while he go up to the mountain to pray. And you know, our Lord Jesus is one who's always will spend time alone in solitude in seeking the Lord. And so this text tells us that somehow there is a wind, a very strong wind that is blowing down towards where they were, and it sort of pushes the boat out to the open lake. Okay, so this is where it happens. Okay, so they are really caught in some kind of a storm. Okay, and they were actually struggling. All right, so that's what the text is basically saying. If you look at the map of Galilee, okay, sometimes you wonder this piece of water bodies. It's right in the middle of the land where you find, you know, storms and all that. But if you look at the geography, you notice that they are surrounded by two valleys. Okay, the valley of Jezreel and the Jordan Reef Valley. Okay, the valley of Jezreel, actually, the wind is coming from the Mediterranean Sea. Whereas the Jordan Reef, the wind is coming from the Dead Sea. So it is a channel and they are all moving towards inland, towards the Sea of Galilee, or sometimes we call it a lake. And from time to time, you see that there will be some phenomenon that take place where there's this gush of wind will just flow through the valley and it will hit the lake itself. And that is where they sometimes will experience sudden storms, very strong wind coming from. So geography does explain to us why occasionally this thing will happen. But we know that this thing happened was intentional. The Lord Jesus wanted to teach the disciples something about faith, all right? And so the text mentioned about he came to them walking on the lake and they saw him. They were terrified because nobody can walk on water, right? So naturally, they were just shout out, it is ghosts, all right? So you can imagine in those days, they still believe in ghosts. And they cry in fear. But Jesus, of course, assured them and said, it is him. And here is Peter. He says, is it really you? Command me to come. Okay? So Jesus said, come. Right? Then he started to walk on the water. But then, halfway through, You know, he probably when he look at the wave and he look at the wind, all right, he sense the wind, he get frightened, he get, you know, sort of doubt came in and began to sing. Just want to highlight to you that he did not actually straight away went into the water. He was slowly singing down. Okay, the text is telling us he was slowly singing down. Enough time for our Lord Jesus to come and pull him up. Okay, that is what happened. And when they climb out into the boat, okay, there is another miracle that happened. The wind suddenly died down. Okay, when they climb into the boat. And that is where the 30th verse 33 says that the whole entire disciple, okay, they worship him there and there at the boat. Okay, and say that truly he's the Son of God. I do a Google search. Rock the boat. It simply means, you know, doing something that will cause trouble or disturb the harmony of the situation. And so it's like Jesus did something, you know. I think they were in the boat probably, and something was, probably they were very comfortable about something. And then this storm came they get into a very uncomfortable situation. And this idiom, rock the boat, came from a politician, a U.S. politician by the name of William Jennings Bryan. He said this in 1914 in among his colleagues, a political speech, and he mentioned something about rock the boat, don't rock the boat, okay? And it was this idiom that came out of this speech that began to spread and become a common phrase that people use is to when you want to cause a disharmony, okay, or you cause a very uncomfortable situation, okay? So that's what it means. So that's where the origin comes. And we know this is a very familiar biblical event, okay, but the focus is on Peter, okay, what he did and what the rest did not do, okay? That is the focus of our this event. The context is that this disciple, by now, they were already about 2 years with our Lord Jesus Christ, over 2 years, spent time with him. And during these 2 years, they are watching him, and you know, Jesus is just taking them alongside, you know, discipling them, and so on and so forth. And so they're seeing all these miracles and all these things that's happened. And to be more exact, they were very comfortable. They were just cruising, you know, enjoying all the spectaculars, feeding of the 5,000, the healing that's taking place. So they were enjoying, they were soaking in all this, all right? And it was at this juncture that our Lord Jesus decided to rock the boat, okay? I have a photo here taken in 2015 when I was leading a team to Israel. And they discovered this boat, a 2,000 years old boat. It's a place in this museum. This museum is somewhere near to the lake where they found this boat. And they believe that this is the boat that Jesus and his disciples would use. It's very interesting because this boat was actually buried in the mud in the Lake of Galilee for many, many years, 2,000 years, until somewhere in the year 1986, where there was a great drought and the water receded far towards the middle of it. Then they discovered that there was this boat that's been buried. They stick up. And then these two brothers discover it. That is where they dug out this boat. And so we can see that this may not be the exact boat that Jesus used, but will be something similar, good enough for 12 people to sit in. I was there, and when I look at the boat, it gave me a lot of the emotion, the feeling that Jesus at once used that boat, you know, and he was with the disciple when the storm hit, and it was the boat that he used to teach the crowd about the kingdom of God. So it's very surreal, and it's very emotional for me, you know, having to see that. And so show it to you that this is probably the boat that Jesus used with the disciple. Well, you can see that at this point in their walk with Jesus, especially in the spiritual walk, Jesus suddenly withdrew himself from them. So it was an intentional. You know, he purposely withdrew himself from them. I don't know about you. Sometimes, you know, you may find that somehow the Lord may seems to be absent, you know, withdrew himself from you. Sometimes you wonder why, you know. Sometimes you feel that, hey, why the Lord suddenly become so distant, all right? In this case, this is what happened. It was intentional. And so he actually sent them away. But the text also tells us that he was actually watching over them. Although he was away from them, he was watching over them. That was recorded for us in Mark chapter 6, 48. Now, the gospel mentioned about this incident. Only in the Matthew account that they mentioned about Peter walking on the water. The other two doesn't refer to it. So Mark 6:48 was telling that while Jesus was on the at the mountain, he was watching over them, struggling at the sea. Okay, and he's sort of aware that what is happening. So it's very reassuring. Okay, people. Even sometimes you feel that the Lord is not with you, yet the scripture tells that Jesus knows what is happening. He's still watching over us, and this is very, very reassuring. And he knew immediately that the disciple was in some kind of crisis, in some kind of danger, right? So at the right time, the right moment, he came to rescue them. And so 1 Corinthians 10, talking about all of us face our trials and temptation is common. But God is gracious. He will always provide a way out for us. All right, this is what it happens. And so the key teaching is about faith, all right? And there are three faith lessons for us this morning. Number one, I just want to highlight to you that Jesus will rock our boat whenever you and I become too comfortable in our spiritual walk. That is the first lesson I want you guys to take home with. Okay, when you are too comfortable, okay, in your spiritual walk, you won't be surprised that Jesus will rock your boat. Okay? Perhaps to stir something in you, all right? I give you an illustration, the eaglet illustration. Now, if you look at the way the nest of an eagle is being constructed, you will realize that there are a lot of spikes coming towards the nest, okay? That's how it's being constructed. And so when the eaglet is small, it's still very comfortable sitting right in the middle. When the eaglet become big, it will be very uncomfortable to be in the net itself, the nest itself, because the stick will start poking the bird. So the bird has to be forced to come out of the nest. So when you see an eaglet matured, normally they stand outside. They don't stay inside because it's very uncomfortable. Nature has a way to tell us that, you know, eagles are not meant to be comfortable where they are. They are meant to soar. They are meant to fly. And so while they are growing up, they have to be prepared for that flight eventually. And so the way it's being constructed is to make sure they are not too comfortable where they are and force them out. And so we have a nature that tells us that getting too comfortable is no good. All right? We look at the example of Abraham. Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, he got Isaac. Okay, the Lord blessed him with a baby, Isaac. When Isaac is about 12 years old, so he's probably about 112 years old by then, the Lord really rocked his boat by asking Isaac to be sacrificed. And that was where God is testing his faith. You know, even though he, by this time, he's really, you know, in that stage where he's supposed to be growing faith, but yet the Lord has to rock his boat. So we see God does do that, okay? And we look at Caleb, not this Caleb, but the Caleb of old, all right? He was about 85, right? The land is already distributed. They all settled down. But he saw this high ground called Hebron. And he was not being taken, you know why? Because it was being occupied by the Anakites. They were the giants. And so while they subdued the people, they were not able to do that. But Caleb wanted that Hebron. And so he approached Joshua. and said, give me that land, I will take it. And true enough, he and his clan from Judah took Hebron. Okay? And that was how faith was being challenged and exercised, and how in the scripture we see how people respond when the boat is being sort of shaken. All right? My example, you know, I was pastoring in Queenstown Baptist Church. Reverend Peter was my senior pastor then. I was cruising very happily in Queenstown Baptist Church, to be honest with you. You know, been there for quite a number of years. I enjoyed the ministries. Everything was very well oiled. Okay, all my ministry and all my data is in the computer. I can always plug it out and I go with it. No issues. All right. So somewhere in 2017, the Lord began to stir, began to rock the boat in me. There was a dissatisfaction with my spiritual life. I felt that it's all about the Christian faith, you know, because day in and out, I preach to my church member about, wow, we need to exercise faith, you know, we need to really surrender to the Lord. And I find myself, hey, as a preacher, how does that apply to me, you know, personally? And so the Lord began to lay a burden in my heart, and that is to give myself to the wider body, to the Baptist community, rather than just focus on the church ministry. It was a big challenge, and the burden become more and more real and heavy upon my heart. And I realized that this is something the Lord is challenging me to step up, okay? Because I do not know what is out there, okay? The Lord did not tell me what's going to happen. The Lord said that if you really want to experience me, you really want to encounter me afresh, then you step out. So this is where I began to pray about it, and as I began to wait upon the Lord, it came to a point where I realized that this is something I wanted to do. And so this is where I told Reverend Peter way ahead that I wanted to do that, okay? And so finally in 2018, I step out. And when I step out, I do not know where the Lord is leading me. I just trust him. And the Lord just lay upon heart, start with the convention office first. So I volunteered 2 years with the convention office, you know, coming to work among the convention people. And then within the 2 years, the Lord asked me to set out a ministry called the Platform. I do not know whether you heard about it. Platform stands for Pastor Leaders Aligned Together for Oikos, Mentoring, and Revival. Okay, that was a platform. Basically, the role of a platform is to rally all the pastors in the Baptist community to come together for the gospel work. Okay, and this is very challenging. I am in now. This is our third year already, Platform. And we are organizing a Baptist pastors, lay leaders, this April. This is part of what God has laid upon my heart to do, to help to strengthen the church and the leadership. Okay, so this is my experience quickly. So I want to ask you, when was the last time you felt Jesus has rocked your boat? Now, when I look at you, I think Jesus has really rocked your boat many times. And one of the things that really rocked in your boat is where you come and answer to the full-time calling, right? So you can see that he does do that. But I strongly believe that he will continue to do it, okay? Because you are precious. And if you find that, you know, you are getting complacent, when you find that you are too comfortable, he will continue to do so and rock the boat. All because he loves you and he wants to really strengthen your faith. Now, the number two lesson is that we need to experience more of God through faith venture. And the faith adventure is always outside the confines of the church and in our comfort zone. Okay? You will never find the stretching of faith that's happening in your comfort zone. It's always outside. And for those of you who go to mission field, you understand what it means. When you go to mission field, you will see what God is doing. And your faith will be challenged. You know, if you go and do evangelism, you will see, wow, this is something that, you know, God is at work. And so many times, if you're talking about wanting to stretch your faith, it has to be outside, okay, where you are and your comfort zone. And this is precisely what happened in the boat experience, because they were all too comfortable in the boat, and the Lord had to rock it. There will be a moment that when the Lord will ask you and I to step out of the boat. We need to be very sensitive, because when the Lord rocked the boat, okay, unfortunately, out of the 12, only one responded. It can tell you that sometimes when the Lord rocked the boat, you still can be very secure in where you are and still do not want to respond. Okay? So the important thing is Peter. Peter responded. He saw the opportunity. He seized the opportunity. And he's the only person besides Jesus Christ can walk on water. Although he sank halfway, it doesn't matter, because he had the chance to experience what it means to walk on water. And that would be something that he will carry for the rest of his life. This kind of encounter, people, is precious. It's very, very precious with the Lord. And when you're stuck in your comfort zone for too long, it can be counterproductive, okay? Beware, because if you're too comfortable where you're, sometimes as pastors and full-time worker, we can be very comfortable where we are after a while, you know? And if we don't keep asking ourselves, you know, can I stretch my faith? And how the Lord can help me in this area? We will become very comfortable. So you can tend to be very inward-looking if you're too comfortable. You become stagnant in your spiritual growth, and you will miss the opportunity of your faith stretching exercise. Last but not least, you will miss the opportunity of encountering afresh the great I am. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. And if we want to really experience God, it has to be a faith venture. You see, that's why the Apostle Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Stepping out by faith provides you a new paradigm in your spiritual journey. Really, when you encounter God through your faith venture, you see a different kind of God. Verse 32 tells us that after Jesus and Peter returned the boat, the storm died down. You see, the miracle occurred after he responded. And when they went back to the boat, the storm died down. Supernatural things happen after the faith is being exercised. Miracle happened after Peter and learned that how to put his faith in him. And this is often true in our disciples' journey. We experience more of God through the walking by faith and not by sight. Verse 33 tells us that when we exercise our faith, Christ is glorified. Remember, the whole disciples, they worship him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so, summary, stepping out by faith is a personal choice, and Christ will often call out to you. So I want you to know that it's your response to the Lord. And the venturing of a faith is a choice, a personal choice. The other thing that the Lord sort of impressed to me to this particular text is that sometimes, for me, I'm talking about me, okay? I'm already about 66, turning 66 already. And I thought that as far as faith is concerned, that's it. But not true. You look in the Bible, those people like Abraham, because they were in the old age, and yet God still rocked their boat. So I'm sure, you know, he will continue to do so even when you are so-called matured in your age, okay? Because the whole disciple journey is always ongoing until we see Jesus Christ or we have been taken home to glory. So, it is always a case where Christ will do that, but it's a personal choice for us to respond. The other thing is, in summary, is to beware that you get stuck, okay, in your comfort zone. Dare to pray the dangerous prayer, "Lord, please rock my boat whenever I become too comfy with my walk with you." I have done something while I was in QBC. Now QBC have a very beautiful sanctuary, laboratory. We call it Agape, right? Agape Hall sanctuary. And one of those quiet time I would spend alone in the sanctuary. And those were precious moments, okay, when I would cry out to the Lord. I say, Lord, I want to experience you. I'm not happy with where I am. And it was through a series of sort of this crying to the Lord and seeking the Lord that the Lord tell me, why don't you, for the last season of your life, just give yourself to the community. Walk by faith. You know, let me lead you one day at a time. And this is what I did. Okay. And so, dare to pray. Okay. If you really want God, you must dare to pray this kind of dangerous prayer. Lord, rock my boat if I get too comfortable. The last but not the least, remember that the spiritual adventures is out there and not in the boat. Okay. Not in the boat. So I like to conclude here. I'd like to again challenge all of you that we are in the faith ministry. We are in the faith ministry. And this faith, 1 Peter 1:7 talk about, is very precious. Okay? It's not by perishable thing like gold. It's given to us. Okay? And we should cherish it. And we should stretch it. We should grow it. Okay? Jude 1:3 talk about contending your faith. There's need for us to really fight for our faith, to preserve our faith and to grow our faith because it's precious. Okay? And just to again emphasize, we are in the faith business. Okay? This ministry, wherever you're due, is all about faith, growing your faith. Okay? Shall we close with a prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this simple little biblical events where you walk the boat and you show the disciple who you are. Father, we know that there will be many times in our life that you will do that. We welcome me and we say, Lord, help us to be responsive to that call when it happens. Lord, maybe some of us have already been experiencing it now. And we just pray, Father, that we will respond to you, whatever that may be. But we are thankful because you are always watching over us. You will always stretch out, but Lord, you will not allow us to be tested beyond our ability to withstand. But always, always provide us a way to go forward so that we may grow in our faith. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.